So our next speaker is Mr. Clint Weinbrenner. Clint joined Cisco's Global Government Solutions Group in 2008 and is currently the FIPS technical lead for Cisco's Global Certifications team. In the last 9 years, he's been responsible for driving FIPS validations and FIPS strategies across all of Cisco's products, and he's been a feature speaker at international ICCC conferences, among others. Today, he's going to talk about how we can work together to further influence an internationally acceptable crypto algorithm process. I am sure it's going to be the best event of the day, certainly saving the best for last. Please join me in welcoming Clint to our podium. Well, next to Simon, that is, I guess.
Thank you. And thank you for taking the time to attend this talk. I know there's lots of good stuff going on this week, and I appreciate your time. So what are we going to talk about today? We're going to, let me give you a little history. When ISO 197 90 came out in 2012, we did an analysis of that after it was publicly released, and we found that there was a place where the different bodies who are recognizing ISO can choose the security functions allowed within that regime. And when we read that, we wanted to look at a way, how can we use this specific wording and this language to simplify our larger goals for our company and our certifications. So that's where this started, and we've gone through a couple iterations of this, and we've talked about this several places. So this is what we're going to talk on. We're going to do a little introduction, and has there been a shift? Algorithm testing, you can read. But we're going to go through a little bit of the history, and we're going to talk about what we think are maybe the next steps, and what can we do to do this better. So as you all well know, our cryptographic algorithm validation is a very important part of our certification process. It gives us a way to say that our algorithms in their primitive state are functioning in a way that they were designed to function, so that if we're using that with another product that might not be, say, a Cisco product in this thing, we know they're going to interoperate correctly. They're going to operate the way the spec says they should operate. And in years past, we've had some challenges that took a lot of time, because for us, we're trying to sell to many different countries. It's not just a US-centric based sales force. We're trying to sell over Europe, Asia-Pac, emerging markets, et cetera, et cetera. And when we have our salespeople out there looking for procurement requirements, we found that they vary vastly from place to place. And for us to be able to meet those procurement requirements, it puts a lot of iterations on the same types of testing, on the same products, over and over. And so when we saw ISO talk about the different security functions within the different governing bodies, we thought this is a perfect time for us to sort of put the rallying cry out there for the international community, so that we could maybe choose one set. You know, can we all get along, right? And so we haven't really got there yet, but we're on our way. So shift. When we would traditionally do a FIPS gap analysis on our products, we actually did a FIPS gap analysis, right? In today's time and age, with all the different certification programs we have, if you're looking at your product from a strictly FIPS perspective, you're already going to be 8 to 12 months behind. Why? Because there's different requirements, common criteria, there's different requirements for DoD, UC, APO. And what we've seen is, as we're going through these scoping exercises for all these different products, and this isn't just one specific product type, we're talking routers, switches, data center, we're talking unified communications, everything. And of all the certification programs that we participate in, I'm mostly referencing what DoD, UC, APL, common criteria, and FIPS at this point. But what we're noticing is instead of us all kind of being on the same path and having, while we may have the same goal, we're not on the same path to get to that goal. And we're seeing all three programs sort of, you know, veer their own direction. And when you're doing a scoping exercise, you're trying to talk to a development unit. You know, I have me or somebody on my team will go talk to them about FIPS, and then somebody else on our larger team will go talk to them about common criteria, and then somebody else will go talk to them about UCAPO. And we find that one of us is telling them one thing. Common criteria comes in and says, I know Clint told you can use triple DES, and triple DES is perfectly good and acceptable for FIPS, but you can't use that in common criteria. Then we have UCAPL coming in saying, well, maybe, you see where I'm going, right? We have three different sets and we have three different ways of scoping that. And we're seeing more and more crypto gaps, FIP cryptography related gaps, excuse me, that are coming into our FIPS projects, not because of FIPS, but because of common criteria. So how do we go about fighting that, or how do we sort of minimize the effort it's going to take for us to fulfill the requirements, and not just requirements of the standard, but the procurement requirements of the agencies to which we're trying to sell. And previously we talked about, we trusted the algorithm, but we didn't trust the algorithm validation process. Right, so you may have a European company who has no problems with AES, but they do not like the CAVP. They do not trust it for some reason, whatever that reason may be. And what we've had to do was find out what this country's specific requirements were for testing and then fulfill those requirements. And that's caused our people to, like I said, we've tested AES multiple times, the same AES, the same code, the same product, the same hardware, the same everything, but we have to prove that it's still good from country to country. And I think over the last few years, since we last talked about this, one of the things that's come up is this ACVP. And ACVP is the protocol, but I believe they're going to call the program itself ACAVP, or am I have a... Okay, well, I hope you've attended one of those talks this week talking about that, but what we have is an open source client server setup with the server set up at NIST, and the vendors are then going to be responsible for writing their own client side, and we're going to be able to test our algorithms and get results in a very quick fashion. So, given that it's open source, given that you write your own client, if you don't trust it, it's probably because you don't trust your own developers. Ooh. So I'm very happy with how we've moved towards that. Even though we're moving towards, I hear a lot of chit chat and a lot of chatter about there may be some hesitation moving towards the automated way to do things. And some of that may be, you know, us old FIPS guys who've been around for a long time. Hey, they're going to have robots doing our jobs. What are we going to do, right? We're going to run the robots. Maybe Skynet isn't the robots taking over. It's them taking over our algorithm testing, and then what happens after that? But another previous problem we've had, and I think this is still a very current problem, how do we establish a common, internationally acceptable cryptographic evaluation process? And we still, this is the challenges we faced back in 2015. In making an establishment of the representative list of algorithms. Again, can we all come together and agree that this set of algorithms is something we can agree on, something we can trust? Can we trust the algorithm? Does anybody have a recommended list? Does anybody trust anybody else's recommended list? And we see that, I don't know that we've really made any progress on this in the last few years, because we still have We still have great difference in who's accepting what and the criteria under which they'll accept it. Like, for instance, we have NIAP accepting CAVP algorithm certificates as a measure of assurance. And while that's great to sell into the U.S., when I try to sell outside the U.S., that doesn't really help me. So I feel like I'm doing catch-up work, right? And we see that when we see these lists from the international, they don't vary as greatly as one might think. It's not like, you know, Germany wants us to use oranges and oranges only, but we're America, we're an apple country, right? Not Apple the phone, obviously, the fruit people. And I know Orange is a cell provider in Europe, so that could have been maybe a misconstrued, but that's okay too. So what do we do? How do we recommend that? What do we do in the meantime? Cisco still recommends our next generation encryption algorithms. These are things, some of them are, and I hate to say this because I think this is one of the things that puts a target on your back when you say this particular word, but they're supposed to be, there's a subset in here that are, here we go, quantum resistant. But, you know, this is what we're recommending. This is what we're trying to use as a base minimum for default algorithm selections, default protocol selections, whatever you may have in your product. My goal when I talk to the BUs is to say, you know, I don't care if you support AES 128, if you support AES 256, please make that be your default selection. And these are the kind of things we're looking for to be a default selection in our products. So, to summarize, I think there's been a lot of talk about automation, not just this week, but over the last maybe year and a half. If some of you may have been involved in CMVP work group, which is a combination of government and industry. No labs involved at this time. But what we've been doing in that group is we've been talking about ways, how can we automate certain parts of the FIPS evaluation, certain things that are taking a long time and that may be redundant. You know, for instance, I might have a product on a software release 15.5.2 and some minor non-FIPS relevant vulnerability comes out or anything, and I don't want to use that. I don't want my customers using that. We don't want to introduce anything into their environment that would be detrimental. But in order for me to get them a new FIPS approved image to remove that non-FIPS relevant vulnerability, I have to re-enter the process. So hopefully this move towards automation will give us the ability to address these vulnerabilities in a much quicker time frame. Also be able to give our customers the most up-to-date and relevant software for their product that is possible. International procurement requirements are not 100% solved through common criteria. Currently, you know, if you do common criteria in the U.S., it doesn't always set you up for success outside the U.S. And I know NIAP's focus is solely on the U.S., and it's a government agency. It should be focused on its own people. But if we're going to give our customers and the people that we serve the best product, perhaps we should look at these requirements from a perspective that enables us to sell and to put this product in more hands than previously and faster. If we find a way to come up with this representative list of security functions, this also enables us to secure our infrastructure faster and more robust in ways we've never been able to do it before. Now, there's no argument that there are challenges that exist, right? I mean, most people can't agree on the same team to cheer for, much less something that would secure our infrastructure and possibly your finances, you know, the things that are important to you, your family. So how do we go about it? I think the only way to do it is just to, first off, we have to admit we have a problem. And then we have to say, what can we do to fix that problem? The only way to do that is to talk about it. You know, we have to find representatives that know their country's requirements, procurement requirements, and talk to them. You know, hey, we're interested in helping you out, but in order to do that, you got to help me out a little bit, right? So, and I think whether we like it or not, I think automation is the future of certifications in the short term, in the very least, and most likely the long term, unless the robots take over and we have to, you know, take them down and start doing everything manually again. So how do we do that? Get involved. We can't complain about what's happening if we're not willing to change what we're doing in the present to affect the outcome, both short term and long term. And I believe that is all from me at this point. If you have any questions, please feel free to tweet them to me at Cisco Cert Team. And if I cannot answer them, I will find the person who can answer them. All right? Thank you very much.